Invite you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, we're going to read verses 34 through 40. You know, oftentimes as we begin a new year, it's a time of evaluation. You know, and it's time to look back at the year, see how things have gone, but it's time to anticipate how things are going to be in the new year. Now we don't know the future. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know that God is in control. We know that He gives wisdom. And we know that He knows what's going to happen, and we can and look to Him. But it's a time of evaluation in our lives and saying, are things lining up according to God's Word the way they should be? And so tonight I just want to look at one important aspect of that. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we still have the privilege of being here together in a public setting without persecution. We thank you that we can freely open your word and hear it and read it and understand it and study it together. Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts tonight with the things that we learned from this passage and other passages. And I pray that you would help us to go away from here having a greater desire to live for you and to obey you in all that we know about you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we would all agree that life is busy. We've just come through the busiest season of the year. And the busier we get, what is the one thing that usually gets pushed aside? Relationships. We get busy, we get filled, our schedule gets filled up with things, but sometimes our relationships get pushed aside for the sake of all those things. And sure, we give acknowledgement to those in our circle of influence, but our relationships become shallower the busier we get. As we stand here at the beginning of a new year, it's a good time to evaluate things in our lives, and maybe we make some resolutions that we hope we can keep beyond the first week of the year. Maybe we're going to start a Bible reading program. That's a good thing to do. Plan to read through the Bible this year. That'd be a good goal. Maybe we determine we're going to learn a new skill this year. You know, people say, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, but we can learn new skills. Maybe you're going to go somewhere in particular this year. As a family, we're going to go to the Bahamas. Great. Hope you make it there and back. But anyway, maybe we want to get somewhere this year and go visit a place. But there's one thing that's worthy of our evaluation, our consideration, and that is, are we at where we're supposed to be? Are we at where we should be in our relationships? How often do we really ponder the question, are the relationships in my life what they should be, according to God's Word? Not according to my criteria, but according to God's Word. And this evening, I want us to look at our relationships in three different realms: our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, and our relationship with our friends and acquaintances, those around us. And as we look at those things, I want us to consider three areas in each of those relationships: our communication, our care, and our companionship. So first of all, look at our relationship with God. And I want to start with this one because it's the foundation for everything else that we do. If our relationship with God is not what it should be, it's going to affect every other relationship. If you look at Matthew 22 again, look at verse 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." In other words, this encompasses all of what we need to do. We need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so this is very important. Many of the principles that we see in this first part of our relationship with God will also apply to those other areas. So how about in our communication with God? How are we doing? I want to start here. And one of the most important parts of any relationship is communication. When there are two or more people in a relationship and only one person or no one's doing the talking, well, there's not much of a relationship. And so it's important to have communication. If there is no communication or very little communication, there's frustration, there's suspicion, there's accusations, there's division, and it's just not a good relationship. If we were to look at examples in the Bible of people who had a good relationship with God, one of the things that we see there is they had good communication with God. They were talking with God. They were continually communing with God. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 5. We're going to do some page turning tonight. Psalm chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. We know that David had good communication with God. We know that he was often talking with God. Psalm 5, verse 2 says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." So David was committed to communication with God. Over in chapter 55 of Psalm, verse 17. Psalm 55, verse 17. Again, David talks about the frequency of his communication with God. He says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." But notice back in chapter 32, this really shows how important communication with God was to David. Look at how David responds when the communication with God is not open. When that barrier is there because of sin, he says in Psalm 32, verse 3, it says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." And David says, when I couldn't communicate with God because of my sin, he said, my bones waxed old. He said, it was like I was getting old overnight. And he said, I was just aging because I couldn't have that fellowship. I couldn't have that communication. He needed that. And there are many times throughout David's life that he sought God's guidance. He sought God's wisdom. But look at Daniel chapter 6, another example of someone who had communication with God, and it really affected everything that he did. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. As we know, the men around Daniel had tried to catch him in some sin, so to speak, and how in trying to catch him in breaking the law, they had deceived the king into setting up this law. And then it says in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." See, the things that Daniel was facing didn't deter his communication with God. In fact, it probably spurred him on to greater communication in order to understand how to live and how to respond. And so Daniel went to God continually in prayer. You look at many times throughout Daniel, we see Daniel went to God to find interpretation of dreams. He went to God to find out, a pray for understanding, as God revealed to Daniel the end times. And there were times that Daniel said, "I don't understand." He said, "Daniel, this is the way it's going to be." But Daniel had that communication with God. And Daniel sought refuge in God. Can you imagine in the lion's den? Do you suppose Daniel was silent with God? Probably not. What an awesome time to talk to God. Nobody around. God has shut the lion's mouths and you can just lay there and talk to God. And what did God do? God delivered him. But Daniel had that constant communication with God. Those around Daniel knew that he regularly communicated. That's how they were able to set him up, how trying to trick him. They knew he communicated with God. And you look at Scripture, and there's many other examples. You look at Abraham, Joshua, Moses, Nehemiah. You look at Paul, where communication in their relationship with God was very important in each one of those. But how about us? God has given us his word. He has spoken to us. Are we communicating back to him in prayer? Are we taking his word and understanding what he's saying to us? And then are we taking that and saying, "God, help me in this area. God, teach me more in this area." Are we communicating back to him? Are we taking the time to read His Word and understand what He's saying? You know, an essential part of communication is listening. You know, my wife and I are talking. Sometimes I have a tendency to butt in. You know, sometimes I just need to be quiet and let her talk to me because there's something she's trying to tell me. Okay? That's important. Listening is important. My dad used to tell me, so you learn a lot more by listening. And it's true. If I'll keep this thing shut and keep these things open, I'll learn a lot more. And that's one way, that's an important part of communication. We need to listen to what God is saying in His Word. We've just completed a series on Wednesday night about the importance of God's Word and how it is helpful and valuable for us. Everything that God wants us to know is in His Word. And we have to be paying attention to it. So that's our communication with God. What about our care? Do we maintain our relationship with God? Do we care enough about it that it shows that we care about it? What are some ways that we show that we care about our relationship with God? How can we show that it's important to us? Well, one of the most important is our daily devotions. Do we take the Word of God every morning or every evening, whenever we have the opportunity, do we open it and spend time with God? Do we really care about our relationship with God? How about faithfulness to God's house? You are here tonight because you care about your relationship with God, because it's important to you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful each one of you is here tonight. How about being good stewards of what He has entrusted to us? That shows that you're concerned about your relationship. You care about your relationship with God. Faithfulness in our giving to His work. Faithfulness in our service for Him. Sharing His truth with others. You know, when we come to somebody who's in need, come to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, a way that we can show we care about our relationship with the Lord is to talk to Him about others. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to help out a neighbor. And as we worked together on this project and we were trying to figure it out, and oftentimes he would, you know, oh, you need to swear. But I tried to take the opportunity when I could to say, thank you, Lord, or help us, Lord, to figure this out and try to help him see, no, it's the Lord who helps us. It's the Lord who is the one that's going to give us the help that we need. And to show him it's an important relationship. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Here we have a list of people who cared about their relationship with God, and it showed in the choices that they made. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 4 to start with, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, he was in competition with Cain here, but he cared about his relationship with God, and so he brought the offering that would honor God and that would be acceptable before God. And it says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. I remember on, I think it's Hope's dad's headstone at the cemetery. Is it the end of this verse that's on there? He pleased God. Her dad had a testimony that he pleased God. He was one that cared about his relationship with God, and that was a testimony that he had. Down in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah cared about obedience to God. By faith Abraham, in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Down in verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so Moses cared about his relationship with God. And their relationship with God, as you read through this passage, every one of these people, their relationship with God mattered to them. and they cared about that. But how about our companionship? We've looked at our communication, our care, and our relationship with God. How about our companionship? And we see a lot of parallels here with the first two, but there's more that could be said. In Exodus chapter 33, Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15. Moses is leading the people in across the wilderness. It says in verse 14, he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And so God had promised Moses, "I will go with thee." But look what Moses says in verse 15. He said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." He says, "God, I'm not going. I don't want to go if you're not going with us." And so God promised his presence, and Moses said, "Yes, please. I want your presence. I want that companionship. I want you to go with us." Moses, that was very important to Moses. Back in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 and 12, or verse 11, Psalm 16, verse 11. Says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Over in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, we see again thirsting for God's presence. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" You ever been away from home for maybe a week, 2 weeks, and you've had to be away from your family, and the time comes for you to return home, and all you're looking forward to is being home again, being with your family again, being back home with them. Why? You desire that companionship. You have that familiar relationship with them, and you desire that. And the psalmist here is saying, "I got to desire that. I want to be walking with you. I want to desire you as a deer pants after the water brooks." And then we see in Psalm 51, verse 11. Again, this is David's confession after his sin with Bathsheba. And David's confessing his sin before the Lord. And look at what he says in verse 11. He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." See, companionship with God was important to David. He said, "God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be walking with you. I want to have that fellowship, because if I don't, something's not right." So David wanted that companionship. And then one more, Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." And so when we come to God's word in the mornings, we're in God's presence and we pick up his word and we read about him and say, "God, please show me more about you. Show me how our companionship can be closer." And we need to desire that companionship in our relationship with God. How about our relationship with our family? Let's look at that for a few minutes here. And this could refer to husband and wife. It could be parent to child. It could be brother to sister. When was the last time we evaluated our relationship with our family? How about our communication? How is our communication in our homes with our family members? Do we take the time to communicate in a kind and loving way? Do we talk to each other in a way that honors God? Husbands, do we communicate with our wives so that we know we want to be part of their lives and we want them to be part of ours? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 talks about our relationship with our wife. Ephesians 5, verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." We are to show them that we love them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We're to love our wives, and one way we demonstrate that is by communicating with them. You know, we need to talk to our wives. It's important to them, but it's important for us as well. Wives, do you communicate with your husbands? I realize sometimes you have to go tell us more than once before we'll get it. But do you patiently communicate the things you're doing or are dealing with so you can work together as one? Genesis 2:24 talks about the man and his wife were to be one. They were to cleave together and be one in the Lord. Okay? Part of that being one is built by communication. And so we need to work at that. As parents, do we communicate with our children the things they need to know, especially the things that will help them to grow, things that are important for their spiritual growth? Ephesians 6:4 tells us we're to train them or bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, we need to talk to our children about spiritual things and to help them to understand. Do we take the time to talk to our children? Do we pray with them when they're making decisions? Do we talk with them when they're going through a trial? Do we rejoice with them when they've received a blessing? How do we communicate with our children? Brothers and sisters, do we communicate with each other in a way that honors God? 2 Peter 1, verse 7, it talks about a list of things we should build into our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, and one of those things says, to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. And so brotherly kindness is one of those things we need to build into our lives. And it's, if you think about it, it doesn't say friendly kindness, it says brotherly kindness. In other words, that relationship as a brother to brother, a brother to sister is very important, very close. And God intends for it to be so. And so do we communicate with each other in a way that honors God? Brotherly kindness is important for that in our communication. How about our care in our relationship with our family? Do we care for those in our family? Are we sensitive to their needs? And if we have the capability, do we try to meet those needs? You know, as we see a need in our wife or in our children or our husband, do we go out of our way sometimes to help meet that need? In Ephesians chapter 5 again, verse 28, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Husbands, do we love our wives enough to care of that we show our care for them? Do we take care of them? You know, the Bible tells us, and it's true, we'll take care of ourselves. You go and throw a fist at somebody, what are they going to do? They're going to put their guard up. Okay? You give somebody opportunity to benefit themselves, oftentimes they're going to take it. We'll take care of ourselves. We'll make sure we have what we need, but do we care about our family? Do we take care of those around us that God has given to us? Do we make sure they have the resources, our wives, our family, that they need to manage, especially our wives? Husbands, do our wives have the resources they need to manage the home? You say, well, I'm the king of my castle. Yes, but she's the queen. And the queen needs what she needs to manage the home. Okay? And so does she have what she needs? Does she have those resources? Do we make sure they feel secure in the home? There's a lot of ways that they need security. Do they feel secure in the home? Do we show concern when they have physical, emotional, or spiritual needs? And my wife's hurting, do I take the time to sit down and say, can I help? Pray with her. Do show God's word or help her in God's word. Do I take that time? When she has a physical need, do I make sure that she gets the help she needs? When she has an emotional need, sometimes I need to sit down and hug her and hold her just to show her I care. I don't need to give her a long speech about how she just needs to get over it. Sometimes I just need to hold her and show her I care. Does she have what she needs? Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 21. Let me read that passage. Proverbs chapter 31, most of you know that's a passage talking about the virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Wives, do you show care for your family? Do you show that you care about them? Do you help when they have needs? Do you show that care in helping them? Brothers and sisters, do you show care for one another? And this can be manifested in a number of different ways, but do we show care for one another? I mean, how about our companionship within our families? Do we spend time with our families? That's when a lot of communication takes place. That's when we can get a lot of feedback from each other. Do we spend time with our families? You know, if I communicate with my wife and children, but I don't ever spend any time with them, the relationship's out of balance. I need to spend time with them. That's something I have to work on. I need to spend time with them. If you look at Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 through 18. Ruth chapter 1, verse 11, says, "And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, 'Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law.' And Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me.' When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." And so we see here Ruth was faithful to Naomi to be her companion. She said, "Naomi, I want to be with you. You're as much of my family as anybody is, and I want to go with you. I want to stay by you." And so Ruth was a companion to Naomi. And then finally, how about our relationship with others? And this could range from close friends to work associates, but how is our relationship with other people? It's important to evaluate those as well. In our communication, what is our communication like when we are with others? You know, James chapter 3 tells us an important part of our communication. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, there they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth to the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Do we speak one way to some people and exactly the opposite to another? The Bible says these things ought not so to be. We ought to speak in a kind way. We ought to speak in a loving and a caring way. Do we always speak the truth? Or do we embellish things to make ourselves look good in the eyes of others? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 and verse 19 talks about that. Proverbs 12, 17. It says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Do we have that lips of truth? Do we always speak the truth? Sometimes it means we're going to be a little more forward, a little more firm with someone. Do we always speak the truth? Do we tell people things that will help them to know the Lord and to grow spiritually? Do we help them to know those things that are going to edify them? The Bible says in Romans 14, 19, we say those things which are to edify others, to build up others. That's our communication. What about our care for others? Do we care for one another? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 and 25, that we are to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." We're to care for each other the same. We're to take and make sure that we watch over and take care of each other. Again, back in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, it talks about a man who comes in who's fared very sumptuously, who's dressed very nicely. Do we care more about him than we care about somebody who doesn't have a lot, somebody who's poor, who's in need? We show respect in that way. We should not. We have to be careful not to treat people differently based on what they look like or how they treat me, how they treat us. Everyone needs to see the love of Christ demonstrated in our care of them. I was reading an article just this week, and the pastor was saying, you know, he may have people come into his church. He doesn't agree with their lifestyle, but he's glad that they're there. Why? Because he can show them the truth. He can show them the love of God. He can show them that there's something more important than what they're following after. And he can take that opportunity and show them those things. And we're going to have people walk through these doors. We're going to have people we come across in our daily lives that we don't agree with on everything. We don't agree with the lifestyle they're living. But you know what? We can still show them that we care. We can still show them that there's something more important than this world out there. There's a God who loves them. There's a God who wants to know them as wants them to have him as their Savior. So we need to show the love of God toward them. We need to show them we care about them. And then finally, our companionship. You look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. How is our companionship with one another? We see this demonstrated in the early church. Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." But over in 1 John chapter 1, talks about the fellowship that we have in Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 7. "Is that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Down to verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." So the fellowship that we enjoy with believers is because of our bond in Christ. We have that common bond in Christ. Do we look forward to times of fellowship with other believers? Would we rather isolate ourselves? Would we rather just be kind of off by ourselves and do our own thing? How we value our relationship with others will determine our response to that question. So back in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." How are we doing in our relationships? I trust that this will be one area of our lives where we allow the Lord to show us where we can improve. And then we'll follow the instructions from His Word. We'll follow the promptings of His Holy Spirit and build those areas and allow Him to build those relationships stronger in our lives with God, with our family, with others, so that we can be an encouragement to others. We can be a blessing to others. And we can bring them to Christ and point them to Christ by showing that we care and showing that we desire to have that walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the things that You've shown us tonight in Your Word. We thank You that You have given us the opportunity to love You as You have loved us. Father, we thank You that You took the initiative to show Your love because we needed the example. We need to know how we're supposed to love You. We need to know how we're supposed to love each other. Father, help us to evaluate our relationships in our lives. Make sure they line up with Your Word and what they need to be. Father, please grow us in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.